Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints, won't you? I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Donegal 326, mean 15 points, 1992, 2012, 2014, we want to forget about that one, and now 2025, it took over 100 years for Donegal to dine at the top table of the GAA, only the first final was in 1992, the breakthrough, 2014, well, that was a bitter chapter in a, well, in a book otherwise in that period, a book of triumph really, you'd have to say. But I tell you something, there's a chance to atone that error of 2014 in 2 weeks' time. It's going to be one hell of 2 weeks in the northwest. We have to celebrate these moments, but by God, the mother and father of opponents are standing in our way in 2 weeks' time. The aristocrats of Gaelic football, the men from the southwest, and I tell you something, they don't use euros down there. Their currency is All Ireland's, and they're one hell of a team. But I'll tell you something, Peter Campbell, a man of spoil, this is one hell of a Donegal team as well.
This is one of the best Donegal displays that we've seen at this level. Because normally you get to semi-finals, and manners are probably know this about it. You're very happy to get over the line, but today, you know, we have this professional approach from Donegal. They were clinical, especially in the second half. They put up a record score, record championship score, and I'd say at the start of the year, the one game that Jim McGuinness wanted was to get Kerry in an All-Ireland final. I think that would be something that was on Jim's agenda for such a long time, because you can win All-Ireland, but if you can meet Kerry in an All-Ireland final, I think it always means more. And we've met them 2 times so far in the championship.
We have a win, a draw, and a loss. So it's 1-1 each in the draw, so I think a lot will be settled in 2 weeks' time. Jim McGuinness has been involved in the win back in 2012. The draw came in 2019, obviously, and Jim has that defeat in 2014. This will be the one game I think that he wants, and he'll leave no stone unturned in the next 2 weeks to have this team ready. And it is a challenge, because when we saw yesterday, like, Kerry dismantled Tyrone, I thought Tyrone
should have won by 12 or 15 points.
Should have won by easily by that. I thought Tyrone were a bit naive in the way they handled David Clifford. I think Donegal and Jim McGuinness will have a better plan for him than that. But it is one hell of a display from Donegal today. And they can go home very, very happy. That, you know, they've given their supporters something to shout about this year.
Ah, there's no doubt about it. That's deafening here. And I know some critics recently say the music's a little too loud in Bloor Park. I'm starting to show me age. Oisin Gallen, Darrell Whale, Michael Murphy, Patrick McMurphy, they're all just waving on to their brilliant, brilliant supporters. 19-year-old Finbar Rorty wins the player of the match, and well, he's just been outstanding. Could have given it to anyone. He's a boyish smile from the Niamh Connell Club. He's in his debut season. He is one hell of a player. He must be a torture to mark. If you are, sorry, will he be marking you? Because he's everywhere.
I think too, it's the energy and the youth. I mean, himself, Kieran Moore, Pater Mogan, they're probably the energy and the legs of Shane O'Donnell. Conor O'Donnell, a lot of energy all around the place. then the bigger lads, they come in when they need to come in, and the scorers come in when they can come in. But the likes of Finbar, first year, amazing. Amazing that, first of all, that Jim seen the potential in that, that he had the confidence and the ability to come on and just match. There's a certain psych with somebody like that, and he certainly, there's been moments where he's made maybe mistakes and it's been pointed out, but he doesn't make it the second time. But I thought his energy today, from the first moment, his tenacious tackling, but it's also it's getting on the ball, moving up the field, supporting the runners. But Donegal are blessed with a couple of players like that. They've taken over from the likes of Carl Lacey, Ryan McHugh, Mark McHugh, Frank McGlynn, Anthony Thompson. They all played that kind of game, and they showed that energy. This is just a new breed, Paddy, and yeah, that's the cycle that we're on.
It's a lovely feeling. There's a lot of, you know, just have to, you know, think of all the people that couldn't make it here today, and the people overseas, and the green and gold flags just buzzing. But listen, I mentioned, lads, it took us a long time to dine at the top table in GAA. The association set up in 1884, like, you know, first Ulster in 1972, you know, first senior All-Ireland in 92, first final in 92. Of course, it was the under 21 success of 82 and 87, but what, 12 Ulsters in 72, a fourth All-Ireland in what, 33 years. I only done pass mats for the leaving myself, but something like that. It's getting better, it's good. There's a lot of tough stuff going on in the world, and this can be it. I remember the South African rugby captain a couple of years, you know, he was in the dressing room and he says, there's a lot of terrible stuff going on in this country at the moment and in this world, but at least it's a 2-hour, 3-hour break from that, because it'll never replace that stuff. People have it tough in that, and if they can get out and get to a match or watch it on TV or whatever it is, they can enjoy themselves, because these lads, whatever happens in 2 weeks' time, they've represented this county so, so well, Peter Campbell.
Oh yeah, and I'm just thinking of all the young, a lot of the young fans that are here today, because this is the semi-final, is the opportunity when you can get the young kids to go to the game, because you won't get the tickets for the final, unfortunately, that's the way it is. But they were all here today, but like watching that, Donegal scored 3.26, a record for Donegal in any championship match. They've never scored 3.26 before, never come anywhere near that margin before. 2.23 in the Ulster final against Armagh after extra time was close to the record, I think. I think that was it, but that's a huge improvement today in 70 minutes. I know, and to do it in an All-Ireland semi-final in front of maybe 40,000 Donegal people, certainly over 30 at least, and maybe 4,000 or 5,000 of them, and in between the ages of 4, or maybe as Ryan McHugh's young son, Sennan, 3 weeks old, up to a range of 18, 19. And the impression that will make on them, seeing their team outclass Meath in an All-Ireland semi-final, I know it'll probably have to be all reined back, because now you have Jim will have them in the dressing room, and today will have to be forgotten about right away, because the task ahead of them is much, much superior to what they face today. It's a completely new ball game in 2 weeks' time. But Donegal, I would say, will be super prepared for that game. There'll be not one stone will be left unturned. But the problem with playing Kerry at the moment is the number of weapons that they have. You have to deal with the weapons that they have. You have Joe O'Connor at midfield. You have the Clippers and Shawnee O'Shea. You have four or five very, very big weapons. And Donegal have to make their plans for that. But I suppose in today's game, what you have to do is to score in the region of 125, 126. If you can score in the region of 28, 29 points, then put it up to Kerry. They have to match that. Kerry weren't able to do that yesterday against a very average Tyrone team. I thought they were very, very poor in yesterday's semi-final. And Kerry only put up an average score against them. Donegal today, they were peerless in the second half. And it's the second half that usually wins games. And if they can do that again, I don't think there'll be enough beer, Kerry, but they're going to be, have to be very ready for it.
You stay there, Peter. You're going absolutely nowhere for the next 5 minutes. I know, Manus, you've other duties with RTE today as well, so can I just final thoughts? Going to be one hell of 2 weeks, but I said this a number of times. These boys were playing. I think people think it's Paddy Clifford, David Clifford, John O'Shea. I was here yesterday watching their match against Tyrone. Their defenders are absolute ravenous dogs. They are will hunt everything. And I know a lot of Kerry people, and I will say one thing, and I've been down there quite a number of times. I know the county quite well. I have not in Ireland seen a group of people that think about the game differently than Kerry, and they think they have a divine right to be number one, and that's built on a history, a tradition, a richness within the county. And they look at everyone else and say, how dare you come in here and try and win Sam Maguire? It's going to be a huge battle.
Yeah, first of all, I would have to say that the build-up to an All-Ireland final for the players, for everybody involved, is just brilliant. It's something that you remember for the rest of your days. No matter how many All-Irelands you'll play in, you'll remember that build-up because it's unique. The GA is unique in that respect. They're ordinary lads. They're out doing their everyday thing. People's going to talk to them and all that there, and it is unique, and it's a great part of our tradition. The Kerry thing, yeah, I would have been a huge follower of Kerry. I love their attitude when it comes to it. It's a bit like the Liverpool Man United. We're the aristocrats of this game. Come and catch us and come and find us. And that's exactly what the likes of Jim McGuinness, Brian McGuinness, Tom Cunningham, and any other manager, PJ McGowan, that came to Donegal and tried to turn the thing around. That's what they have tried to instill. That's what, when I played with players the likes of Mickey Lafferty and Brendan Levy and Michael Carr and Paddy Carr, they instilled that wee corner of belief that we can, if we work as hard as everybody else, we can be the aristocrats. It's taken a good few years.
History is hard to bloody change, isn't it? Tradition is a difficult thing to change.
You only can change the couple of inches in front of your face at any one time.
Yeah.
But now we have the likes of Pat McBurney, Michael Murphy, Owen Van Galler, Pat, and you know, we have players that are able to stand up to that. And they've learned from the players of the past who have probably added something along the line. So when the Donegal jersey takes the pitch in 2 weeks' time, it's for everybody that had any connection with Donegal over those years, that ever played for them, ever fought for them. And their blood lies in Donegal, and that's what it's about, and that's what it instills. I believe Kerry are right. If that's what they want to believe, good luck. We just have to match them.
I'm in awe of that, by the way. It's actually not a criticism. Well, yeah.
Kelly Beggs came from nowhere in the 80s and 90s, and we had that perpetual, you know, mindset that, yeah, we're entitled to be here. So that's the way you build it. Jim has instilled that in this group. It just didn't happen this year, didn't happen last year. He's instilled it since he came in 2011. So and these players now are at the rewarding end of that there. But the only reward comes that, you know, we see Patrick Verde climbing the steps 2 weeks' time at about 5:45. That's the reward.
That's the reward, and that is all that matters. Yourself, Thomas Pringle, and Barry McGowan. I know you're going back to Kelly Beggs. Your Marty Morrissey's looking for you there. So skip over there, Manus, Peter. And just let Manus out here first. It's all very cramped here, I have to say, but Manus Boyle, thank you so much for joining us here on commentary today and for staying on for this section, which will be released on the Donegal GAA podcast tonight. Peter, me and you, like all our wonderful loyal listeners, we are diehard GAA men, and you've been on commentary with me, and you're around a lot longer than me, and you've forgotten more stuff in a day than I have in my career. But it's just not often you get into an All-Ireland final. Like, it's fourth in our history. It's just going to be so special, isn't it? We have to look forward to 2 weeks. We just have to enjoy this just for tonight first, and maybe then look to Kerry.
I think it'll be easy enough to enjoy this tonight because, you know, this was a display, a professional display. There was probably maybe a 10-minute period in the first half between the 14th and 24th minute when things maybe didn't go according to the
the grand plan that Jim McGuinness would have laid out. But apart from that, it was, you know, almost the perfection in the performance. It'll be interesting to hear what the national pundits think of where that lies, that display lies against what Kerry did yesterday. And, you know, there lies in the wonders of sport. We won't know until these two teams meet in the final. We have probably the two best teams in Ireland in the final, and you know, that doesn't always happen in the normal system. The fact that Donegal have to play 10 games to get to an All-Ireland final, you know, says something about maybe the unfairness of the system as well. But I don't think they'll be too worried about that at this stage. They'll be able to enjoy tonight, but I'd say tonight is all they'll be allowed to enjoy, because there's a massive... I'm just hopeful. I'm just very, very hopeful that Michael Murphy's removal from the action only very early in the second half, 10 minutes in, that wasn't forced. I'm just hoping that it, you know, that he's 100% for the final, because the leadership that he gives the team when he was on the field, he got us into the position where we got through the first half and went in playing against the wind with 5 points up. 13 points in the first half was a very, very good score against that breeze. The fact that we came out in the second half then, we were able to bring in Patrick McBertie, and we have seen in the last three games in particular, McBertie has been a revelation when being brought in as a substitute. He was involved in nearly everything good that Donegal did in the last. Well, he was on for must have been on for 28, 29 minutes. You know, he was on pretty early in the second half. He has accepted that role. All the other substitutes have accepted the role as well. The Darrow Wales, the Jason McGee's, and I think Manus said it there earlier. He probably will go with the same team the next day. The only change that may happen is that Caelan McColgan may come in from the start if he's 110% ready. Maybe he might replace Caelan McColgan. Caelan McGunningham, I mean, will be in from the start because he's such a physical presence for the team, and has been for a number of years. And if he's back to full fitness, you would expect that he might start the next day. But there won't be that much tinkering with the team. All the work that will be done in the next 2 weeks will be about getting the team into the right mental frame for that game. But they have 2 weeks. They had 2 weeks for today, and you see what they could do when they had 2 weeks to work on it. You need the 2 weeks. Back in the old day, this is nearly
3 and 4
time,
yeah.
You'd have 3 and 4 weeks to prepare. Probably it was too long. If you know, but the fact that we have 2 weeks, it's short enough for people of the press trying to get previews and supplements and that. It doesn't give us that much time, but I don't think Croke Park or Jim McGuinness or Donegal will be too worried about us. Hopefully everything will go according to plan in the next 2 weeks. We have so much to prepare for. We have so much to enjoy from what happened today and what we saw here in Croke Park today. It was just a wonderful day to be a Donegal person. I don't think we could have done it any better than we did today. To score three goals in the second half, we scored what, 3-13 in the second half.
Yeah,
that's some return for a second half. 13 points in the first half, 3-13 in the second half. Donegal are primed at the moment to be in the All Ireland final, and I'm so glad that it is Kerry. It probably would have been nice to have a neighbours Donegal and Tyrone in the final, but I always wanted, and I said it on our draw radio last week, 2 weeks ago, that I think Jim McGuinness would have wanted Kerry. I wanted Kerry. I want to see how this Donegal team will react when they meet Kerry.
Yeah, we might kidnap David Clifford, will we? He's some player. He's unbelievable player. But listen, Dave, he might be their main man, but in the race marksman, I'll tell you something, they're more than that. It's just, maybe it's because they've so many unbelievable players over the last 30, 40 years that some of the lads that maybe go a little level below that, they're maybe not as praised as much or endorsed as much, but it's going to be some buzz for the next 2 weeks, isn't it? And I do, to be honest, I feel it all. Your heart would break for people that can't get tickets for the final, especially kids and that, and you know, their classmates might get them, and that's a tough one. Like, and it's just the word tickets is always messy, isn't it? And it's not nice. Like, it's very tough, and some people might get them in the 11th hour, and it's difficult for people, and especially this year, the following's so good. And yeah, I know some will argue, look, there's a season ticket and all this, but we're not getting into that. Like, it's just, I would look at it as tough for people that can't get it, but I think 2 weeks is perfect. I agree. I think 3 and 4 was too long, and nearly got lost for a week or two. Too long in the players. I think 2 weeks, you know, go home tonight, they'll settle down, they'll get their media stuff, national, local, I'd imagine out of the way this week. Probably be, you know, and then, you know, they'll all start coming out next week because the hurling's on first, and then maybe go away, they make way for a day or two. I'm not sure, they've done that last time, and just get away from the hype, and it's just going to be a great build-up, isn't it?
Oh yeah, they'll definitely, they'll probably get the media stuff out of the way. It'll be probably that they'll have to do something, and I'd say that'll be done as early as possible. They'll go away next weekend, definitely for a get-together, away from all the hype, because the players had to be sheltered from that as well. And it's always difficult for the players, because they're going to get attention. People want to shake their hands, want to talk to them.
Want tickets?
Well, they want tickets, but I don't think, well, no, they won't be asking players. Hopefully, they won't be asking players for tickets. But, you know, it's something that we it doesn't happen as very often, so probably we don't have that much experience of it. This will be only our fourth time, so that's probably the issue. The likes of the Kerrys and the Dublins of this world,
it's totally different.
It is nearly happening every other year. The ticket thing is. It can be a distraction for counties, and it'll probably be a distraction for Donegal for the next 2 weeks. As you say, classmates, one will get a ticket. Aye. Another, his friend or her friend, won't get a ticket. But that's the way it's been, and that's, you know, we can't really talk much about tickets. It'll come and go, and if whoever doesn't get one, just will have to watch on television or
tough,
tune in to you, Paddy. They might listen to you.
Don't be that badly stuck now, Peter. Don't be that badly stuck. I'll tell you something. And on that, I'm going to try and release a podcast each day leading up to the final, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So might get some of the stuff done maybe this week. Don't want to burn out. Hope these Donegal players don't burn out. So the Seagulls are here, I'd say about 150. And I better go change my shirt. I'm going to go into a Donegal top for the night because a few Seagulls, well, they're coming close to us. There's one very close there, kind of half freaking me out. This Donegal team are not freaking me out. They're making me and everybody else very, very happy. Peter Campbell, maybe just final thoughts and just overall sum up what you've seen here and what you're hoping to see in the next 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I came up to Dublin on Friday. I watched the game at my daughter's house in Marino, the first semi-final yesterday. The heat was unbearable yesterday, and I says it's going to be very, very difficult for Donegal playing in for the players playing here on Sunday. And as it turned out, a completely different day today from yesterday. We had a lovely cooling breeze here in Croke Park. It was much easier for players, I think. We had a fairly strong wind blowing into the Davin end, which was a factor. Meath trying for their 2-pointers in the first half, and they weren't that far off with a number of them. But the few that they got kept them in the game. But from a footballing point of view, we weren't very long into the second half when we seen that Donegal were a much superior team, worthy of, you know, of winning the game early. I hope that as I said before, I hope the reason Michael Murphy was brought off, I thought it was pretty early to bring him off. I hope he isn't suffering any ill effects or or has nicked anything in the hamstring. I said at the start of the year it would be very difficult to play 11 games and give Michael Murphy to have him go flat out at his age for 11 games. But he was quite good in the first half. And looked good in the second half before he was taken off. So I'm very hopeful that he's okay for the final. That's my only worry from the game. Otherwise, I think we will probably have a plan in place for Kerry. It's going to be a very, very exciting 2 weeks, Paddy.
Okay, once again, thanks to Peter Campbell and Manus Boyle for joining me on commentary and staying on with me to record the Donegal GAA podcast. Okay, up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's emphatic victory.
It was a long road back, to be honest with you, a hell of a long road back, but delighted to get over the line and obviously go one step further than last year.
Performance, I'm happy. The 3 goals were big, but going 5-0, are you happy you got a complete performance in the day?
Listen, they had trained well. We knew we had trained well. I suppose without covering old ground again, you know, the difference between a 1 week turnaround and a 2 week turnaround really is probably you're going to get one session done in a 1 week turnaround, and I would say with a 2 week turnaround you're looking at 5 or 6. That's massive from a coaching point of view, you know, trying to get the information pulled together, but to get out on the pitch and repeatedly work on the things that you feel would be important in the game, that's huge, you know. So we got that, you know, we got that opportunity to work on things and then come away from that and then, you know, make some tweaks and do that again, and you're building that over 4 or 5. So we spoke about it as coaches in the hotel this morning, that, like, you know, that it feels like there is a performance in them because a lot of the things that we were looking to achieve in the game, there was a consistency in our training. So that's brilliant, and obviously we get another 2 weeks now into the final and hopefully we can go down the same road.
Did you want to toss on that game against the Breeze? I thought so.
We did. We did win the toss, yeah.
Was that to do with
Meath's
2 points?
Meath carried the 2 points out all the time, you know, and there was a really hot spot there on the right-hand side of the arc that they were hitting hard in the first half. And obviously, we had to make a bit of an adjustment there. Their switches of play are something that they're very, very good at, and then they tried to get players in an overload situation on the weak side, and that area of the pitch today on the right-hand side of the arc, the wind was just bringing the ball in that area, you know, so it didn't take a huge amount to get a 2 over the bar from that pocket. So yeah, we had to make a wee bit of an adjustment there, and once we did that, you know, we were able then to sort of control the game a wee bit more defensively. But control the game defensively is not a term that's been used very often nowadays, but certainly I thought the boys done a good job whenever we made that adjustment.
Jim, this field was a massive platform for you today. Was that an area that you obviously carried to take advantage of, like, you just dominated so much there?
Yeah, listen, it's huge every day. That's the bottom line, you know. Meath have a lot of big men, and obviously, you know, you have to take that on. We've a lot of big men ourselves, you know, when we have them all on the pitch. So kickouts have become absolutely huge. Trying to retain your own kickout, Meath got a very good squeeze on us on the first half. I know we were playing against the Breeze, but certainly they did get a really good squeeze on us. We were able to do really well on their kick out even towards the end of the first half, and then obviously they were playing against the Breeze in the second half. It made it a bit easier. That threat of out over the top doesn't exist to the same level, you know. So yeah, it's a huge part of the game, and then once you get hands on the ball, you can sort of start to implement your own game plan from a possession point of view.
He got 3 brilliant goals. The finishes by Oshin Gannon and Conor O'Donnell, fantastic, but the Kieran Moore goal came from a turnover and the hard run out of defence from the Donegal team. As coach, that must have been so satisfying to see that one come on.
Oh, listen, it's great. It's great. You know, there's a good bit of commentary, I suppose, about how we play sometimes. And maybe it is a wee bit different than other teams, but, you know, without covering the same ground all the time, you know, that's who we are, like, at this stage of the game. You know, we know what we want to do, and it's been in our blood for a long, long time, and we just try to tap into that. And I think it was Finbar that turned that one over. A brilliant turnover, and we got all the way up the pitch and made it count, you know, which is great. It's encouraging, you know. We're creating, even the first half we created some goal scoring opportunities, and we kind of felt that if we could keep at it and keep trusting ourselves, we could get into more goal scoring opportunity moments, and that's the way it panned out. So yeah, that's positive. Obviously, you know, trying to keep that going is the big one now.
Jim, you've Mike Murphy gets 45 minutes, kicks 6 points, and Patrick comes in and kicks 3 points for him. Did he nick something or put something?
No, he didn't. He's good, you know. But, I suppose the strength of the group at the moment is the squad, and everybody's pushing really, really hard. There's a couple of lads there that have trained really well that didn't get on, and the people that did get on, Keelan, even when he came into the game, you know, obviously he's been a huge player for us for the last couple of years. He shored up the middle there and was really solid. So there's good competition for places, and we'll be back to ground zero on Tuesday night in terms of that now, and everybody will be putting their best foot forward, you know, whether it's the first 15 or trying to get on the pitch or to make the 26. That's what you want within the group, and in fairness to the lads, they've been brilliant in that regard.
Jim, in this game last year, and faded out against Galway in the last quarter, and I remember we talked about it here at that stage, like what the lessons you were going to be able to bring from that, and you said you were basically starting to bus home. So it's a year later, do you think the lessons from that benefit?
I think so, yeah. I think the number one thing on the list there would be depth, just the thing we've been speaking about. We didn't know at that stage, I suppose, the rule changes that were coming down the line and the physical demands of the rule changes. But certainly, we knew that we needed people to come in and give us more depth, and strengthen. McFadden Ferry today came into the team in the second half. He has come back in, Owen McHugh has come back in, Michael has come back in, you know, and probably missing somebody there as well. Owen McGettigan. But we knew that we needed to be stronger, and it would build its own energy within the group because it would be more competitive and people want to play naturally. So I think we did see that today because we were able to make those changes the whole way through the game. And as I say, you know, going to play Kerry in an All-Ireland final, you're going to need every man. You're going to need every man you've got. That's a huge challenge. And they're so confident about what they do, and there's a rite of passage there almost, you know, in terms of winning All-Ireland. So that's the first thing we're going to have to meet. Head on, but certainly it'll not be 15 players, it'll be every single player we can get onto the pitch that'll be needed.
What did you make of that yesterday?
Pardon?
What did you make of Kerry?
Oh, listen, you know, you are all watching it no more than ourselves, like, you know, they have just a lot of quality, you know, they have a lot of skill level, they're playing for each other. You can see that they're very united and they're very together. I thought their interviews were very balanced and very controlled, and they're on a bit of a mission themselves, you know. So, it's great for us. It's a great challenge. We're looking forward to it. We'll have to get the heads down now, get down the road and start that process as quickly as we can, and look forward to it. Well, first thing I say to Brendan is he's climbed the ladder. You know, for any young defender out there, he's climbed the ladder. And I remember when he made his debut, he got a very rough introduction to inter-county football. So I suppose to answer your question, he's very conscientious. He works very hard at his game. He wants to know as much as he can about opposition forwards. He trains really well. He's focused on his own training, and he wants to defend. That's the bottom line. He wants to defend. He wants to really, really defend. And Jordan Morris is a brilliant player and a brilliant talent, and a player that can do serious damage and play off the cuff. And they're the hardest players to mark without a shadow of a doubt. So I thought he did a brilliant, brilliant job today.
Paddy, you're fine when you come in. What's it like trying to break into the starting team and balance it with the role of having an impact as well?
I suppose you have three lads who are flying there. I suppose Michael's kicked 6, Connor's kicked 1, 3 or 4, Farrell's kicked 1, 5 probably. So it's just, you know, we all have a role in the team, and my role at the minute is just coming off the bench and it's to lift the energy of the lads. The lads have 50 minutes to blast it out, and I come in with 20 minutes to go, 25 minutes to go, and try to put the bus foot forward. So. Listen, we all have our roles. I'm looking forward to the day. We're trying to get on the ball and get shots off. So, you know, it's just carrying the can.
What's it like coming in as an impact player with 20 minutes to go under the rules, maybe compared to, you know, previous year or the last few years?
Yeah, it's obviously a big difference in starting the games. You know, things are touchy out there. Teams are trying to feel their way into the game. Obviously, there's a lot of work done on game plans and whatnot, and for the 2 weeks leading up to the game, but. You know, I came in a really, really good time today. Farrell just scored the goal. You know, we had a big, big wave of momentum, and you know, it's just the spaces are bigger, but it's just you know, coming in and trying to do, work hard and do the best thing for the team.
Can I
think it was two All Ireland finals for you that year, 20, I think. Did you think it would take this long for Donegal to get back to the season, and what has it taken?
It's definitely not. When we left here in 2014, I didn't think it would be 2024 till we reached our next semi final. You know, we massively underachieved from 14 to 24, basically, in our eyes. And when Jim came back, obviously the standards were raised back to where they were, and you know, we're just delighted to be back here. But you know, they were a barn a couple of years there where we were winning Ulster's, teams were tipping us to go and win All Ireland's, and we kind of couldn't get over the big days really. So you know, getting this man back obviously helped with that, and getting back to days like this 2 weeks is going to be massive.
You mentioned about adding depth to the squad, Fisher. I think you had 12 different scores today, and lots of matches you tend to hit double figures on. Does that make you more difficult to play against, you think? Do you have
spread options? Well, I'd like to think so, yeah, but I suppose it does tie in with how we want to play as well. You know, I suppose when you're playing a running game and a support game, everybody needs to be able to do that, you know, and I think today, you know, everybody did do that, and we were able then to rotate fellas inside and give them a breather, and other fellas will go back, and hopefully they're going to be able to defend to the same level and attack to the same level as well, you know. But yeah, listen, the game has changed dramatically over the last number of months. We just felt that it was important to see how those changes sort of would grow, if you like, and then bring our own template to how we want to play the game to that. And it has served us well. I think Kerry have done the exact same thing. I think there was a lot of commentary maybe throughout the league that ourselves and Kerry were the only two teams that weren't embracing the twos. So yeah, I don't think Kerry have done a huge amount differently there. You know, they have their own way of playing as well, and they play with their head up. They're looking for dink balls. They're looking for third man runners. They're looking to support in the same way we support off the shoulder. They're looking to do it the exact same way, only with a different kick or whatever it is beforehand. So yeah, everybody's got their own principles and how they see the game. For me, it's important just to keep what it is, to be from your county, very close to the centre, and then move with the rules, and I think we've done quite a good job on that front.
Jim, in terms of athletic output from teams, now your team, you look back to 2014, you see a game like that there and the running power of your team. How can you measure in any way what the difference is? Is there a figure, is there anything you have?
Well,
to
I think I think you've hit the nail on the head. You're measuring everything now. That's the bottom line. You're measuring everything now. You know, we know exactly what every single one of them do on a given night, and you know.
What's been increased by? Is there any? How
well, the game has increased, I would say, you know, by about 80% to 100% on last year alone in terms of the physical attributes that are required in the game. They're doing more distance in games, but their explosive distances have almost doubled. The challenge is absolutely massive, Colm, you know, but it is a different game now, and it's a different era as well, if you like, you know. And we've had to, and I have had to, make adjustments to that, you know, in terms of how we train and the length of time we train, and maybe Paddy may or may not agree, but we would definitely not go after training sessions to the level that we would have been 10 years ago, you know, because they're so finely tuned now. I think most of the work now, or a lot of the work now, happens in the gym, and, you know, you can see from the numbers the whole way around the country, there's a lot of serious injuries out there at the moment, you know, where people are so explosive and strong and powerful, they're putting so much torque through their body, that if you put them into a state of fatigue on a consistent basis, something has to give. You know, the strength and the power is there, but the fatigue is also there. So I think we've done a good job with managing that and trying to keep them, you know, without going over the top on our training, keep them in a good place, keep them fresh, and keep building that way. You know, that might surprise some people, but we're definitely not the team that's been talked about in terms of massively long sessions and, you know, whipping guys. You know, that's not the case. I think the team the team that will do well this year and the teams that have done well this year have managed it quite well, and I think that's an important part of it.
Okay, so great stuff there from Donegal manager Jim McGuinness talking to various reporters, and before that Manus Boyle and Peter Campbell. So I'm always accused of having real partisan podcast, and I'm very biased. So a neutral to maybe make sense of it all, Lee Keegan, one of the finest players that not just came from Mayo, but came from Connacht. Thanks a million, mate. Thanks a million for coming on the Donegal GA podcast. My words, I'm slurring here. I'm all over the place. What did you make of it?
Very emphatic. I think the biggest challenge for Donegal was, you know, setting the tone early. Like the first 50 minutes, they had no wides. The Michael Murphy influence was huge. And for me to be in the game, they probably had to do nearly everything perfectly. They were taking a lot of two-pointers. I can see why with that win, but when Donegal put the hammer down, it was curtains. And that third quarter in particular, when the game was there to be really won, Donegal didn't look backwards. And the running power from Rorty, Kieran Moore, McHugh, Heather Morgan, it's frightful when you're there watching live. I know when people watch on telly mightn't appreciate it, but when you're there watching live, it's just grind and pound, I keep calling it. And
some pace.
Pace, directness, and then you put on top of it all their decision making for the betterment of the team. And it's across the board. And the beauty for Donegal today as well, which is probably a huge plus, Murphy came off after 45 minutes, McHugh after 50 minutes, Morgan off. All their key players you want rested for a big final. That's a luxury most teams can't afford to do. So, listen, today I think was, for me, and I don't want to sound kind of rude about it, but I think it was a tick-box exercise for Donegal. I always felt that their game was going to be too much for Meath, given that they had a brilliant season, don't get me wrong, but they've never come up against a team like Donegal. And as I said, they just overawed them for 70-plus minutes, and the scoreline kind of represents that.
Yeah, they've had some brilliant wins, Meath, but semi-finals are different, aren't they, Lee? You played in so many and finals at the very, very top level. As that old adage goes, everyone has a plan until they get a punch in the face.
By God, they got a fair slap in the face. So, yeah. It was haymaker after haymaker. And listen, from a me perspective, you know, you can't take away from what Robert Brennan's done. They are building. I think it's important to remember that. They lost to Louth in the Leinster final. Look what Donegal did to Louth in the prelim. Do you know what I mean? So you got to put things in perspective too. And this Meath are on a great journey. They're a very traditional type team. But just where Donegal are at, their ambition as well, like, they make no bones about it. You want an All-Ireland. And based on what I've seen today, it's going to take a pretty damn good team to do that. And listen, Kerry, Donegal are the best two teams. For me, I probably have Donegal as slight favourites based on what I've seen for them, their efficiency. And the one thing is not talked about enough, your squad depth is ridiculous. Everyone that came on today made an impact. Paddy Brady is captain, kicks 3 points. Darrell Wheel, who was getting man of the match earlier in Ulster games, comes on, kicks a couple of points. So listen, that's the biggest bonus. And it was really interesting to hear McGuinness talk about it. They have, instead of one or two training sessions, they have 2 weeks, they have 5 or 6 sessions together. That's huge. And listen, Kerry obviously going to have that luxury too. But my point is, Donegal weren't getting that luxury of having 2 weeks. They're getting 1 week, 1 week. Now they have 2 weeks to get into a final, and they've been here before. They know what it's about. So I think it's a cracking position to be in.
When you were in your pomp, there used to be, remember, a 3 week break or a 4 week break to finals. I'd say that was tough as players. Was 2 weeks nearly better, is it?
2 weeks is nice. I mean, it gives you 1 week to kind of declutter from a game like this, even 3 or 4 days just to unwind, because it's a big build up. You're playing a huge game. Then by the time that's kind of unwinded, you're into training, you're trying to focus on the next task. So yeah, 2 weeks is just enough. 3 or 4 weeks, it always felt a bit of a slog because, well, like, I mean, if you win a big game, you probably get 2 or 3 days in the beer, which was nice. But
yeah.
But I suppose the reality where these players are at now, you get 1 day to have a bit of time together, but they're back training Tuesday already, which is brilliant. It puts a focus back into you. And the only thing for them is Kerry already had a day to watch Donegal, which is, you know, a little luxury for themselves as well. So, but these teams are so accustomed to be here. I mean, they're not new to this situation. And I think it's a rich thing as well, where Murphy comes out of retirement, he's playing Kerry, his old foes from 2014, to put that maybe wrong, you know. So there's all these kind of side plots as well, which is lovely. So I think we've got the final we deserved. I think the people want this final. I think we've the two best teams by an absolute mile. We were talking earlier on air about, if you're ranking your team start of the year, it was Kerry or Donegal 1 and 2. Is it any coincidence that they're in the final now in 2 weeks' time?
Finally, just what type of game is it going to be? Actually, first of all, when the final starts in an All-Ireland final, you've played in so many of them, Does it feel like another match? Or when the game starts, Donegal supporters all waving at me. Great fans of the podcast here as well. So, safe home. I think living in Cavan as well, is that correct? Oh, you're lucky you're living in Donegal. I'm exiled, but I think I'm going to move up for 2 weeks. But is it another game, or when the pulse running, are you very aware of the pageantry and the atmosphere, you know?
It's not in the build-up. If any player tells you any different, they're lying. They're talking through their turner or their ring, because in the build-up, it's hard to get away from it. You try to hide yourself away from the media, from the public, but you don't do it. But I think when you get to the game and you get to Croke Park, I used to find it really near relaxing. Even the night before, you're with the gang of lads you want to be with, or the squad. And then your kind of mind starts wandering to the fine what ifs and that. But I can tell you, as soon as you get in that pitch and that whistle goes, it's like any other match. People will say, oh, it's an All-Ireland final. It doesn't matter. Like, finals are there for winning. We unfortunately didn't do it. But when they get to that pitch on All-Ireland final day, and the reality as well, like, Kerry and Donegal are so well accustomed to All-Ireland finals. They know what it's about. It's nothing new to them. So, I mean, these guys are, even from Donegal, like, they've such a young squad. Those guys have Murphy, McBrearty, types of guys that have won All-Irelands, know what it's about. McGuinness has been there before, so they're not...
Ryan McHugh has played before.
So, I mean, and the same on the Kerry side. The majority of the Kerry team won All-Ireland 3 years ago. So, I mean, they're all well-averse in terms of how to handle it. But listen, there is going to be huge expectation around this final, because, as I said, we've got the best teams, and I think we're going to get one of the best games of the year in the final, which is sometimes unheard of, but I really think we're going to get a special game in 2 weeks' time.
Promise is the last one. What's it like being in a county? Let's be honest, it's not the Premier League or the NFL where maybe you can go and live in a bubble for 2 weeks. It must be difficult. Is it people annoying you, possibly for tickets even, because you get so many as a player? Or can you actually keep yourself isolated from all that noise?
Give it to the wife. That's her heading for 2 weeks. Or give it to one of the family members and let them sorry. It is. I mean,
would you sneak in now and listen to a podcast? Or would you you know, they say don't ever read it, Alex Ferguson says, don't read it. Do players ever sneak in and go on Twitter and read? Not really, no.
I mean, like, why would you try and change anything too much from what you did to a semi-final? Or, like, I mean, you're only trying to deter what you're good at. So, like, I used to find the whole daftness kind of funny and kind of relaxing in one way, because you're... It's all new, but it's all stuff that's not even relevant to you. Like, so you can take as much on as you want, or take as little on. You have enough people around you, and that's the beauty with Jack and Jim. They'll have so much things in place that players won't even have to worry about it. They'll just worry about training, worry about this game and 2 weeks' time, and not even worry, just look forward to it. I think we use the word worry too often. I think, is it the most privileged position for players to be in? It's something to look forward to. It shouldn't be a worry. It's something that you're actually going to be really looking forward to. And that's the way my mentality used to look at finals. Is, sure, like, it's just another game. You just have to play it. And whatever happens, happens. If you get over the line, great. If you don't, sure, suck it up and get on with it.
I'll tell you one thing. I was told you're a gentleman by numerous people. I'll tell you what, you've lived up to expectations. You're a top-class man. And considering I've held you up another 20 minutes here in terms of getting actually out of Drumcondra here, Dublin one rather. So, Lee Keegan, you're a gentleman, a brilliant analyst, and thanks a million for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed the 2 weeks.
Okay, thanks so much, everyone. And once again, a big shout out to all you loyal Donegal GAA fans who've been so good with your time over the past number of years. Donegal are back in an All-Ireland final. Can you believe it? The first time since 2014, and guess what? It's the same opponents. I'm hoping to release a number of shows in the week leading up to that clash with Kerry in 2 weeks' time. Had a wonderful night, a wonderful week, and it really is something to look forward to over the next 2 weeks. But massive thanks to Arsenal Callaghan. We'll always get these podcasts out in rapid time. I'll be back in a couple of days. Bye for now. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you very soon.